This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Good morning, everyone, or at least it's morning for me, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Florida Spectacular. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited. I found out that I got a piece of art into the Water State Festival that CJ talked about last week. So it's the first time in a long time that I've had a piece of, the first time I've ever had a piece of sculpture on exhibit, something other than a student show. So
that's great.
Yeah. So I got good news to start out the day, and I'm looking forward to the Water Festival, but I'm also so looking forward to the, it used to be Floridiana. I can't seem to get the new name right. Floridania Festival.
It's one of those words that I've heard it. Floridana, Floridania, Floridiana. It's the Florida Festival. And the exciting part is I get to see you, because I don't think people realize that, but through the magic of the internet, we are not even in the same city.
Nope. I'm excited, in addition to seeing you, that it's in one of my favorite places. It's in Distant City in Florida.
Distant City. Oh, you know, actually, before it was Distant City, it was been a couple of things, actually. They weren't allowed to call the city Distant City because there was another Distant City. Oh. So, it was Barnett's Bluff. It was, I have a t-shirt with all of it on there. I should send you one. They're not very good t-shirts, but it has, it was Veterans City, Distant City, Barnett's Bluff. You know, I live in this city. I'm president of the Historical Society. You would think that I could at least get this right. But it doesn't help that there are two of these cities in the South. So it's a problem.
Oh, that's true. I looked up because you were talking about the art center last week, and I looked it up, and it was on Facebook. I was looking at all this stuff, and it's like, this is a big museum. And then I realized it's Gulfport, Mississippi.
No, you gave it away. We were going to make people guess.
Okay.
So yes, it was Distant City, Bonifacio, Veteran City, and finally Gulfport. And it's no secret, one of my favorite places in Florida too. After I wrote Backroads of Paradise and I started speaking, I used to get asked frequently, well, what was your favorite place in Florida? And I said, honestly, I already live. They said, if you could live anywhere, where would you live? I said, I already do. I live in Gulfport. It has everything. We've got St. Pete right there, but we don't have to be a part of it. We're on the water. It's got this very small townish vibe, but it's a little different. I mean, we have all types here, but we are a blue dot in a red state. And it doesn't mean we don't have MAGA Republicans. We do, but it's like, what did we used to say? It's a place where all the gay people were out of the closet and the born again Christians were in. Like first city, I think, in the country to pass a human rights ordinance years ago, saying it was, you did business in Gulfport or operated any type of housing in Gulfport, you could not discriminate based on gender identity, sexual orientation, physical appearance. Like you couldn't, it sounds silly, you couldn't rent to somebody, you couldn't refuse somebody a rental because you didn't like their politics, or because you can't do it based on, oh, they're too fat, they're too skinny, they're gay, they're transgender. That was illegal in Gulfport before it was illegal, I think, anywhere else in the country. And I mean, there's so much more to Gulfport, but I like living here. It feels like home. So, what is home?
What is home? What you mean? Are you asking me the existential question? What is home, or where is my home?
No, I was saying it is home.
You know, what I like about it is there's a funkiness to it in a good way. Like, you know, I liken it to a college town, you know, where there's this just kind of edge of kind of do-it-yourselfness with You know, like where I live is kind of the line between the county and the city. In the city, you can see there's, you know, strict building codes and subdivisions and stuff like that. But as soon as you go into the county park, it's like all rules are off and people are making art in their yards, you know, putting statues everywhere and just doing their own thing, letting their freak flag fly. And that's when I drive through into Gulfport, I get that vibe right away that people are just kind of expressing themselves just by their yards. And that I love places like that.
We actually have something, I think, a few times a year called Art in the Yard, where Gulfport artists just set out like a little exhibit in their yard and you can come by their art. There's a map. And then every first weekend in December, we have something else called Art Jones, where you can go. It's free. You get a map and you can walk, bike, drive if you want to. I don't know. Rollerblade, ride a skateboard, and it's a collection of artists, and you can see their studios at home. They're all home studios. You go in, of course you can buy things. It's a big holiday shopping thing for people, and you can see the artist in their natural environment, so to speak, like a lion on the savannah, sort of the rare elusive Gulfport artists.
So is Gulfport small enough that you can walk the whole city?
2.5 square miles. I've done it. It doesn't mean that, I mean, it depends on what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
You can, it just depends. It's, we have five really distinct districts. We have, of course, the downtown, which is the waterfront district. And that's where you're going to find the restaurants. That's where you're going to find, the Gabber newspaper. Shameless self-promotion. You'll find a couple of galleries. And then, of course, you'll find the waterfront. You know, people, there's a dock. People can boat up. People do boat up, go to the restaurants, walk the downtown. That's where our art walk happens every first Friday. And then every third Saturday is where we have like a maker's market at night. And that's where that happens. It's also where you find the Gulfport Art Center, which is open every first Friday with shows from local and traveling artists. It's where you find the Gulfport History Museum, which has porch parties every third Friday of the month. I mean, we have a lot of different things in the downtown, and it's very tempting for people to not leave the downtown. Like, you know, go 1 foot off beach and that's it, because Beach Boulevard is our downtown. But there are a couple of other things that I think people neglect. And, you know, it's in your best interest when you visit Gulfport to get off that downtown drag and start traveling. Because if you go over to the Marina District, which is really just a little bit east of downtown, you'll find a great nature park called Clam Bayou. You can kayak there, you can go kayaks, go through the only tidal estuary that is not seawalled in on Bocasiega Bay, which is pretty incredible. So you can see how an estuary works. There's a marina there where people go and get boats out to the island, stuff like that. You can go over to you know, the north end of the city, which people are like, don't call it the north end. That makes it sound like it's not as good, but it's where I live and it's actually better. We've got some great parks. If you have kids, we have, I think, some of the best playgrounds I've seen in the area. They're just so much fun. And just neat stuff. So there's a lot beyond the downtown that people don't experience when they visit Gulfport that I would encourage them to do. The Blueberry Patch. Have you heard of the Blueberry Patch?
No.
Oh, Blueberry Patch is amazing. It's only open a couple of days a month because the guy who started it was into numerology. So they always open on the days they open at 11 a.m. But it's just this place that it's a piece of land and volunteers, they call it Sharevival. They come in, they clean it up. They ask for a donation if you want to come in. They always have live music or something going on the days they're open. And I it's the kind of thing I want to talk about, but you have to really go to it to understand it. Someone said to me once that being in the Blueberry Patch is like being inside of a lit up Christmas tree and looking out. And that was back in 2003. And 20 years later, I can't find a better way to describe it.
So when you said the you can kayak out to the islands, what islands are you talking about?
Okay, so you can kayak out to you can get a kayak tour. There are a few islands in Boca Ciega Bay. I would not suggest expecting to kayak out to them. You can kayak Boca Ciega Bay, and you can do the estuary there. If you take a tour, they will show you because it's hard to find. There are some mangrove tunnels that are incredible. If you get the right tour guide, and I always suggest Kayak Nature Adventures. I'll put a link to Kurt in the show notes. And you do a guided tour, they'll talk about the environmental changes in Boca Ciega Bay, because there's really this incredible history of resilience where in the 1950s, state biologists said that Boca Ciega Bay was dead and would never sustain life again. And just through sheer will and determination, the bay has rebounded. It's not out of the woods yet, but it's incredible. And, you know, Kurt gives a really good tour and tells a little bit about that. And he was part of it. He had gotten a grant from the Water Management District. Boca Ciega Bay or Clam Bayou used to be trashed. And he got a grant, and the deal was you could go kayaking with him for free if you agreed to pull trash out of there. And they pulled litter, just detritus, plastic, of course, but also like shopping carts, incredible stuff. And so it's really nice. But if you want to go out to the islands like Egmont Key or Shell Key, there are some trips that go out of the marina. And you just walk in the marina and ask, and they'll tell you who to go to. But there are things like that. There's fishing trips you can take. It's at its core. Everybody thinks of Gulfport as an art and dining destination now, but at its core, the city grew up around the water. It was fishing was the main form of commerce. And you know, we have a walking tour that I think, you know, Joey Vars gives. It's great. And he talks about the drug running that went on in Gulfport. And, you know, it has this really interesting history. And if you go to different small towns in Florida, what you're going to hear a lot of over and over again is there's three words: charming, artsy, eclectic. And after a while, they all sort of start to blend together. But what really sets every community apart is its history. And so when you look at things from a historical perspective, you can really see, oh, that's why the city is like this, or this is why. And it really changes your frame for that city. But I could talk forever about Gulfport. I should probably let you say something.
Well, I visited there. I think every time I've been there is for the Floridania Festival, if that's correct. It was the Floridiana Festival first time I went there, and it rocked my world because it was the first time I attended that. And I think, you know, it's moved around several different places in the St. Pete area. One time it was downtown in a church. One time it was in some kind of woman's club that's right on the near the water. But, you know, that was in my heavy collecting days. and I limited myself to, I think, $100. And the one time I went, I had spent $100 in the first aisle before I got to see the 2/3 of the show. I had already blown all my money, and you could easily do that here. But I think, you know, you need to save your money for books, because books are what everybody needs. It's the gift that keeps giving. But so if I go there, I remember last time we ate outside, you know, it was still when COVID was a little bit scary and we wanted to eat outside. And then we went to get ice cream. And I remember the ice cream had some exceptional flavor, something with ginger in it, if I'm not mistaken. Some of the highlights on that main strip?
On the main strip. Okay. So I'm guessing you went to an ice cream shop called Let It Be.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It's still there. And they, I'm a fan of their ice cream. Everybody's a fan of their ice cream. So on that main strip, and we're talking about Beach Boulevard here, if you were just to start, I would say, Let It Be ice cream, definitely. A perennial favorite is Pia's for dinner, but you need reservations. And if you don't have reservations, you can try your hand at Pia's Veranda and get like walk-up outdoor seating, which it's, you know, they do a good job with fans, but I would suggest if you're planning on coming April 15th to the Floridania show, definitely make your reservations now for pools, because they fill up and they sell out. We're also, we have a new pizza restaurant that opened on the drag, and Tommy's Hideaway, and they have a, their wood-fired pizzas. They have Italian-American food that they had, and I tried it. It was great. They have a clam pizza that is fantastic. Don't make a face like that, Rick. It's good. You like clams?
Every once in a while, I'll have fried clams and, you know, clam chowder if it doesn't have meat in it. But yeah, I mean, they're okay, but on a pizza, it just seems odd.
No, it's good. It's like a white pizza, and it's not heavy. And they serve it with a little wedge of lime that you can squeeze over it. So it feels healthy. So that's right by Let It Be Ice Cream. So you go have your pizza, and then you can go have your ice cream and then walk around a little bit and then go have dinner at Pia's. But there's also, you know, there's others at the North End Tap House, which is in something called the Village Courtyard. It used to be called the Art Village Courtyard. They have live music every night, outdoor venue. It's really, really nice. Gulfport Brewery makes their own beer. They have a Distant City Lager that's very good.
Oh, cool.
It's a nice little tribute. And, you know, it's super dog friendly. The whole city is super dog friendly. It's, you can't, of course, bring your dog inside a restaurant, but you can, I mean, like there's a great little shop right next to the Gabber newspaper, which we have a pretty cool mural. I'm very impressed with our mural. So you got to walk by the Gabber. We'll be closed on Saturday. And there's really nothing to walk into a newspaper office and do. But if you walk to our building in the Village Courtyard, we have this very cool mural of Rosé at Spoonbill's reading the Gabber newspaper.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. And so right next to
it. That's behind you, isn't it?
Yes, and a picture of it here. And right next to us, there's a little shop called Stella's Sundries, which has just, they have some good Florida authors in there. They also have, you know, kitchenware, things like that. And then we always tell people, you got to go to Beach Bazaar, which is weird because it's like Gulfport's general store. They have, if you need aspirin, you can get that. If you need a t-shirt saying you visited Gulfport, you can get that. If you want to mail a letter, you can do that. I mean, it's just kind of everything. And then they also sell tickets to a lot of the events there. They're like our Ticketmaster without the scandal. So,
do you guys have places for live music in Gulfport?
Yeah. So almost, yeah. So the Tiki on Shore Boulevard, the Tiki on 56 and Shore has live music. So Maddie's has live music. Village Courtyard has live music. Depending on what else is going on. Yes. Blueberry Patch, as I mentioned before, has live music. It just depends on what you want. It can be a little dizzying if you're just in town for a day because you really have to pick and choose. So do you want to do art stuff? You know, Brendan McMahon Gallery right downtown. She sells art from local artists. And one of the things that I think is fun about Gulfport is you just walk around and you can see, you know, it wasn't planned. It wasn't a very well thought out housing community, which is nice because you've got all the different architectural styles and everybody kind of not just march to the beat of their own drummer. They make up their own instruments as they go along. So every house has a little bit, and some will have murals, some will have yard art. We have one house in the city right on 28th that always has a giant skeleton of a dinosaur that right now is decked out for Easter. I don't know what they're going to do after Sunday. It's a very happy dinosaur skeleton. It celebrates all the holidays. So you know, it's just, you kind of just have to, you don't go with a thing in mind to do other than come see us at the Floridania Festival. But you just kind of soak in Gulfport. And get a Gabber.
Get a Gabber.
That's the weekly newspaper. We have boxes all downtown.
I think that's today's t-shirt. Get a Gabber.
Get a Gabber, got to get a Gabber. It's kind of this neat thing. It's the oldest independently owned weekly paper in Florida.
Yay! Who owns it?
I do. My husband and I do. And, it's a good, all kidding aside, it's one of those things that people will tell you. Like, I know when the cops start, the chief tells them, when we have new police officers start, get a Gabber every weekend. I mean, it's got this weird, wonderful following. So,
you know, the way you describe Gulfport kind of reminds me of like the perfect vision I have of what Key West used to be like before it became kind of too touristy. That, you know, there's this kind of island vibe, or maybe like, see, you know, because when you go to like this island community, it's always a little bit funky, and it's like people are laid back and they just kind of do things at their own pace. That's what it sounds like the way you describe life in Gulfport.
That is how a lot of people describe life in Gulfport. And probably, you know, there's a little bit more to it than that. Our original Euro-American settlers were blockade runners in Key West. And when it became apparent that the South was not going to win the Civil War, these blockade runners got the hell out because it wasn't going to go well for them if they got caught. And they set sail and they found a bluff in Gulfport. That's what we call Barnett's Bluff. And it's this area. I don't know. I mean, there's some different theories as to exactly why they chose Gulfport. And those are certainly interesting that I'm happy to discuss at a later date. But they found this bluff right on the water and set up shop. And, you know, certainly Key West in the 19th century was not the Key West of today, but neither was Gulfport. But it is an interesting parallel that our founders, our Euro-American founders, have direct ties to Key West. But we hear that a lot. It's like, this is like what Key West used to be like.
So the one, yeah, we've danced around Hamilton Diston a bunch. So I think we need to talk about him because I think his story is so interesting and, you know, had such a huge impact on Florida history. And, you know, you were named after him briefly for a time.
I mean, I wasn't.
Well, you're Gulfport.
Right, so
you are Hamilton for a while.
I'm the only Italian Diston relative, right? Hamilton Diston actually he bought a lot of land in Florida for what we would consider a pretty good deal. What was it, like a quarter an acre or something like that?
I think he was the largest private landowner in the country at one point.
He was. It comes from the Diston family. They made power tools.
Still do.
And there are two cities in Pinellas County, which is the county that encompasses Gulfport, that were kind of set up by Hamilton Diston more officially. I mean, obviously the Barnetts, the Slaughters came here from Key West. But then to make it more of a quote unquote proper town, Hamilton Diston was kind of the man behind the curtain there. And the other city that has that somewhat dubious honor is at the exact other end of the county, Tarpon Springs, which is definitely another place we should talk about soon. Tarpon Springs, which is at the very north end of Pinellas County, and Gulfport, which is at the very south end of Pinellas County, are the two cities in Pinellas that have direct ties to Hamilton Diston.
So is that because the railroad connected the two towns? Because Hamilton Diston?
No, there was a steamship.
Oh, steamship.
There was a steamer that went between them and you know, just dropped off mail in Gulfport, basically. But it was a way to get from Tarpon to Tampa. Hmm. It would sail down because, you know, no way to get across the county on a boat. No, the railroad came a little bit later, I think. But I get tripped up in dates sometimes. But no, the steamer.
Well, so Hamilton Diston, you know, definitely has a connection to Central Florida in Osceola County with the steamboats there. And, you know, he was the one who was dredging and trying to fill in the Everglades. And
he was going to drain the glades. That was his grand vision.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think he straightened out the Kissimmee River. You know, a lot of those were his dredges that were doing that. And so he kind of left his stamp on this part of the world, too, in Central Florida.
And none of it could.
None of it could what?
None of it good.
None of it good. So what do you think about the story they tell about how he met his ending? Because I've heard that it's not necessarily true.
I have heard that it's not necessarily true. And for those of you who are listening and unaware, because I would hope that would be most of you, because this is really kind of some deep history nerd stuff. The popular story is that Hamilton Diston shot himself, what, in a bathtub?
In a bathtub, yeah.
Yeah, but that, from what I understand, is without basis.
Yes, it's, you know, it's one of those stories that gets repeated. It's like what we talked about on our Mythbuster show, you know, one of those things that people like to tell. And, you know, there's some kind of reassuring thing. It's like, ooh, I know this little piece of information that isn't probably rooted in truth. So,
right,
but it is,
but it's also
fun, kind of, in a macabre kind of way.
Yeah, not incredibly fair to his memory. I mean, the guy was we could remember him for being shitty in a lot of ways. We don't have to invent a suicide to do it. Like, absolute shit heel of a guy from an environmental perspective. And, you know, but we don't need to keep on to that. He was, what do we say? He was making the best decisions he could for the time he was raised in, right?
I suppose.
I guess I how suppose. We
you
the
know,
history.
These guys have a complicated legacy, you know? You could say the same things about the Henrys, I think, too, because, you know, they,
yes,
you know, they were robber barons in a way, but they were also pioneers who opened up bigger parts of the state for development, which maybe wasn't a good thing. Honestly, I think it was going to get developed at some point or another. The rate we're going, there will be nothing left in the state.
No, I mean, basically anything that's not set aside as a conservation easement is screwed, as far as I can tell. But I mean, just, I don't want to get too much into this. You say pioneer. Think about the perspective of the people who were there when they showed up. Were they pioneers, right, or were they insurgents? So, I mean, it's only a complicated legacy if you're benefiting from it. Right?
Invaders. Not, I guess invaders is better than insurgents.
If you're not benefiting from what they did, it's not complicated at all. They were kind of jerks, you know?
Yeah, from that point of view, for sure. I mean, did, you know, I guess another way to look at it, have we benefited as you know, people from the European tradition, you know, who, I mean, when did your family move to Florida? You were
1980.
And we moved here in 66. I mean, you know, we moved here because of that. My dad got a job, basically, but, you know, it was the modern Florida, you know, that vision, that post air conditioning kind of paradise that drew us here. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
Mr. Gorey, for your invention of the air conditioner. So, Dr. Yeah, Gorey, I guess.
Doctor. He's a doctor. Very important man.
Yeah.
I can't believe it took us that long to figure out you could blow ice over fans to cool things off. Like, it's one of those inventions. You're like, how did it take us this long to get here? But yeah, I mean, we benefited from it. I'm not saying it, but it's a complicated legacy for me too. Right. I mean,
yeah, it is. It is. But what's not complicated is that Gulfport rocks and that the Floridania Festival is going to be awesome and bring some cash and bring some credit cards and buy some stuff.
And we'll be there.
And we'll be there. And we have magnets, right?
We have magnets and we have postcards that you designed. So if you mention the podcast, we have a magnet for you. Pretty cool. Old Florida postcard. And if you're listening to this after April 15th, my God, there's still plenty of reasons to come to Gulfport. And you can always just reach out to us. Kathy@floridaspectacular.com. We can hook you up. Tell us what you want to know about in Florida, and Rick and I will get on the podcast.
And Gulfport's located in such a way that it's pretty easy to get to St. Pete Beach there if you wanted to combine it with other stuff. The first time I went there, I think we did Gulfport, the Floridiana Festival, and then went up to Sunken Gardens. That's a pretty perfect day right there.
Sunken Gardens is pretty cool. It's a sinkhole planted with gardens, and they're restoring the original entrance too.
It's old school Florida roadside attraction, one of the few that is open. And the fact that they're restoring it to its, you know, original, you know, the way it was, is a wonderful thing, because it got a little crazy there. It wasn't there a big restaurant in front? I guess there still is a big restaurant in front, but that's a whole nother story, a whole other podcast.
There's actually an Outback restaurant there and a Great Explorations Children's Museum, but that's another podcast.
Yes, it is.
So we did get an email from a reader earlier.
Yay! Woohoo!
Yes. And she asked us if we could talk about the Ringlings and that area of Florida and Sarasota. So I just want to let that listener know we're looking for somebody. We'll get that on the podcast soon, and we'll talk about that area because it's a beautiful area of Florida.
I had a friend visit recently, and she asked me for recommendations, and I mentioned that because of Uzi Baram, I knew about a show at the Ringling of contemporary Seminole art that's now at the Ringling Museum, and she went...
Reclaiming Home, right? Reclaiming Home is the name of it?
That sounds right. Sure. Yeah, that's it. But I recommended it. She stopped and loved it and said it was great, and she took a million pictures and bought the gallery guide or the monograph or whatever they have there, and highly recommended it. So there's so much to do in Sarasota. I would love to talk about it. So that's in the future.
That is in the future. The Ringling Legacy, Sarasota, hopefully soon. And looks like we're going to have Brad Bertelli back on soon to talk about Keys. Keys history and things to do in the Keys, and that'll be fun. Just a lot of great stuff coming up in the next few weeks. So keep listening.
And come look for us if you're listening to this before the April 15th. Come look for us at the Floridania show.
Well, Rick, have a great week, and we'll catch you next time on the Florida Spectacular.